Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, and welcome once again to History Dweebs. I'm Tim, and the topic of our podcast today is Son of Sam, David Berkowitz, who was a serial killer and killed a bunch of people in New York City back in the mid-1970s. And we're going to talk about all of his dastardly deeds. But before we do, let me introduce our panel. I'm joined, as always, by the very distinguished the Queen of Mean, the Empress of Evil.
Not distinguished.
Distinguished. Distinguish you from nice people, right, Colonel?
There's a distinction now, yes. Yeah.
The Empress of Evil, Satan's dirty little secret, Brandy. How are you today, Brandy?
I'm all right, Timmy. How are you?
I'm fine and dandy.
I am so glad.
I'm both fine and dandy.
You are dandy. You
sometimes I'm fine. Sometimes I'm dandy. Today I'm fine and dandy.
That's a banner day.
Well, yeah, it's
you should know, wear an ascot.
Sometimes I'm neither fine nor dandy.
I know. Those days are dark days for all of us.
Yes.
They are dark days. You become quite the prick sometimes, Timmy.
I haven't introduced you yet.
He's out of sorts today.
Hold on, just a minute. Can we clarify something? When you wanted me to agree with that the devil was a bad person, it was okay for me to chime in. But then when I have my own opinions, I'm not just like some dumb, pretty girl over here, Timmy. You can't just tell me when you
I've
want
never
me to
thought
talk.
Of you as pretty. I'm also joined by the...
But he does think of you as a girl.
I'm also joined by the very articulate, the very... the very impotent, the face of Bloody Stool...
Yeah, a bloody stool.
The very distinguished, honorable Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawkwaters III, affectionately known as Southern Gentleman. How are you today, Colonel?
I'm wonderful. I thought I was a face of impotence, Timmy.
Well, you are. You're also the face. You're the face of erectile.
Somebody
you
has to be the face of bloody stool. You're multi-faced.
You know, I'm busy.
Multifaceted. And multifaceted.
And I apologize, listeners. I may be a little hoarse. You might hear my voice cracking. Last night, me and the boy and the wife...
Off he goes with his stories.
Went up. No, I just think they need some... They
I didn't
need
even
some,
ask him how he was doing.
Background like, information.
Right. Nobody cares about your voice.
The colonel went to see the greatest artist of our generation. And
Prince?
By generation, I mean since Homo sapiens started walking erect.
No, because, well, it's not about Sanjaya. He must have saw Sanjaya.
The colonel walks erect all the time, but...
No, that just means you're really old.
You saw Sanjaya?
I went and saw Bruce Springsteen, the boss.
Did you throw your panties on stage?
I did. I may have.
Oh, were they the pretty little lace ones?
No, I threw my blue Born in the USA ones up there.
Were they made in the USA?
No, they were made. They were Trump underwear made.
There you go.
Did you require tissue?
Ew.
Oh, no, that was
people
when I
around
got
him did.
That was when I got home. He played. For those of you who have not had the pleasure of being to a Springsteen
you sound like
show,
puberty.
He had played for
misfortune
almost 4 hours.
Yeah, it's a long time.
4 hours. You get your money's worth when you go see Bruce.
You still sound like you're hitting puberty.
Well, you know, I'm not as old as you people think I am now.
Yeah, you are. You're much older. Well, Colonel, you're actually much older.
We're glad you had a good time, and I must say you're very dedicated coming to work today. And
I'm quite goddamn dedicated. I wish you'd appreciate that, but all you've been is a prick all day.
Well, not saw you all day.
That's because Timmy gets a hangnail and calls in.
Yeah,
I have not saw you all day. I just started talking to you a minute ago. So don't besmirch my good name.
It's besmirched.
Whatever.
Consider it smirched.
What are you jumping on me for?
I don't know, wanker. I just am.
I don't know. Did you call him wanker?
I did.
Oh.
All right. Let's go.
He doesn't like that, so we'll move on.
Let's talk about our shout-outs. Colonel. All right.
I got a couple shout-outs. You know really? I always do Lady Beverly.
Mm-hmm.
She's going to be catching up to our podcast when she has her,
nobody's business
healing of whatever. No, she posted on a page. She was going to be in the hospital.
Yeah. We're thinking of you, Lady Beverly, and, we're glad that you can listen to the podcast.
I heard back from customs and they are not going to unrevoke my visa. So I'm not going to be able to make it over there. I've got. Let's see who is now. We got let me give a few here.
Okay,
let me give a few. Celine, you know we appreciate you. Stephanie, you always remind me because I made a couple quiches the other night, and I know your last name not quiche, but it makes me think of quiches.
It's quick.
Excuse me?
It's Quick. Our last name is Quick.
Well, then you should really remember.
Okay.
It.
No, I know it's Quick, but when you see it, you think of quiche. If she's one E away from a quiche. Mm. And Bree, how you doing?
In Canada.
Bree in Canada.
So she's cold.
Great White North.
That's how she's
doing. Yeah. Trixie, you're out of your goddamn mind. That's all there is to it. But hello. Francis and Erica. Glad you're listening to the show. Eric and Alicia, you know who you are. Behave yourselves.
Sure they do.
Thank you for listening. Mary Ray, you know, be nice to the Colonel once in a while. There ain't no rule that says you got to be hateful to me all the time now, woman. Let's see who... I did say Celine, right?
Yeah.
And I did say Stephanie.
Brittany? Brittany and Chris.
Brittany and Chris. Brittany. Shame. That's all I'm saying about you. Tasha? How you doing, Tasha? We haven't seen much of you.
No, she posted on the History page yesterday saying she liked the Sultana episode.
Oh, are you that now? If that wasn't a pity post, I ain't ever heard one.
No. See?
Now, we did have, did I say
Thank
Rebecca
you,
and Elise?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Oh, no, Elise. And this is the topic. Son of Sam is Elise.
Yeah.
David Berkowitz is Elise's favorite serial killer. I didn't know people had favorite serial killers, but apparently our listeners do.
So Gacy was my... Everybody has a favorite. I got Gacy.
All right. Well, we're not doing
like dibs? You got dibs on Gacy?
Yeah, I got dibs on Gacy. He was a clown. They scare me.
Boy, clowns do scare.
Let's see who we got. Oh, Kim Taylor put a baseball hat on for us, Timmy.
Yeah, Reds cap.
Reds cap.
We will give special shout outs to anyone who comes to the History Dweebs, the podcast page, joins our page, and posts a picture with a Reds, Cincinnati Reds baseball cap on. Special shout out. She gets the shout out of the day.
Shout out of the day to Kim Taylor because she had a baseball hat on.
A Reds baseball hat.
The Colonel has a particular affinity for women in baseball hats.
God.
I like women with baseball hats
on. Can we not get into all your little proclivities right now? Like,
what's wrong? I like a woman with a baseball hat and a baseball jersey and some kids.
Your standards are pretty low.
Not shoulder pads.
You also enjoy them breathing.
Well, yeah, if they fog up a mirror, they're good enough for the Colonel.
There
but,
you go.
Let's see now. You know who? There's a couple people on the post that scare me, Timmy.
Who would that be?
One is Allie.
Yeah, Allie's, Allie's there, down there in Australia.
I believe Allie's probably killed things before, because in Australia, it's kill or be killed.
Leave Allie alone.
I mean, they got the great white sharks.
They got the dingo bats.
They got the dingo bats. They got...
Those things are fucking huge.
Kangaroos will punch you right in the face.
Oh, I know.
I mean, they... Everything is... Huh?
Koalas.
Koalas will chew your nuts right off.
You got the sharks there.
Maybe we should take a day trip.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever kind of bad spider they got. It's like, pick something, the worst of it is in Australia.
I tell you what, it takes 27 hours to get to Thailand, and it's the longest fucking flight in the world. And you get there, you still have hours to go to get to Australia.
Do you really?
That's why they call it
down on?
Oh, my God. It's like on another planet.
And, of course, last but never least, do I even have to say a name, Timmy?
I don't know. Who
do I
about?
Even have to say a name, Devil?
He's talking about your mother.
Oh, Mom.
He's talking about your mom, Trebek.
Yeah. Talking about your mother,
Trebek. She's mad at you because you didn't give her a shout-out last time.
He says that. I did give Dottie a shout-out the last time. I listened to the episode.
I thought you did, too.
Well, not according to her.
Pay attention, Dottie.
Well, you know what? You know why he gloms onto your mom? Because his is dead.
Wow.
And he gloms onto yours. He's a glommer.
My mom.
Perhaps mine is going through some senility if she didn't hear a shout-out, but...
No,
to be very clear, you're giving her a shout out.
I'm giving Dottie Scott the shout out as our number one fan. The reason we do this show, Dottie really is the Colonel's muse.
Okay, let's don't overdo it. Let's move on to the topic.
Wow.
Well, see.
All right,
you are out of the will.
Timmy's out of the will.
Let's talk about David Berkowitz, shall we? The son of Sam.
I don't like this guy.
Nobody likes him. He's a worm.
Well, at least likes him.
But nobody likes him.
Right. Let me say, I had to research this guy, and, you know, when we started this podcast, I thought the one topic that we will never cover is David Berkowitz, because he's a worm. And I don't like to hear him talk. He's got
bullshit. I hate that accent. What the hell?
I have friends in New York. I love New York City.
Yeah, whatever. But
that accent David Berkowitz has drives me crazy. And I had
almost like it's a fake accent. He's trying to put on a fake accent.
Like he's trying to sound like he's from New York.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had to listen to an hour and 40-minute interview with him on Sunday. So.
I had to
do a proper job of research for this podcast.
You go above and beyond, Timmy.
We
just don't appreciate
you.
I'm listening to this guy, and he's so full of shit, so full of himself. And, you know, he's articulate and everything. I don't think he's crazy as he wants people to think he is. But anyway, let's get on. Let's talk about the son of Sam. And plus, I remember when this happened. I was probably in high school.
I don't.
You're putting your damn old.
No, we were in high school.
You remember when it happened, too. Let's not.
Yeah.
I don't really remember this.
The two of you are almost the same age.
You remember, because they had the blackout in New York.
I don't remember that.
Oh, bullshit. You do, too. Anyway, let's talk about it.
Yeah, you do.
And I believe it was rolling brownouts that they had, Timmy.
No, it was a blackout.
That'd be a great stripper name.
Rolling. Actually, it'd be a good thing on the menu at a strip up club. Would you like the rolling brownout?
Would you like the rolling brownout?
Yeah.
It's like a lap dance, but different.
A lot different.
You know, that's what I love about Canada. If you're in Windsor, they gave, now they don't anymore, but they used to give nude lap dances, and they were $10 Canadian. Which was, like, at the time, was
75
like...
cents.
No, it was like $7.50 American dollar. Now it's not.
Like snail trails on your pants.
Yes. I don't want to talk about that. It was just a good experience.
No, I'm just saying.
It was a good experience.
I don't want women dancing naked when I got my work clothes on. Yeah.
And if you're hitting the all-you-can-eat buffet, do you really want them that close to your food?
Yeah,
I make it a point never to eat at strip bars. Now, my buddy Ted...
They got good buffets.
He was known to eat at strip bars. Mm. He loved strip bar food. And I just, like, you know, I'm not eating at strip bars.
He's Ron Swanson.
Last night I was at the show, Timmy, and there was a girl sitting next to me. She was 21 years old, pretty girl.
Mm-hmm.
She was a first-time Bruce concert, and she was there with a 63-year-old father. It was quite a lovely.
You know, she's telling the same story right now, except it starts with, I was sitting next to this creepy old man at the Bruce.
Sure, it wasn't her sugar daddy.
No, it was her father. She took him to see Bruce. He was a lifetime Bruce fan, but never seen him in concert. Mm-hmm. And you know how you got your cup holders on the side of your seat?
Yeah.
One, and here the cup holders were in front of you. Okay.
No way in hell this is going to be a quick podcast, are there?
So I'm reaching to try to put my I got a Powerade deck because you gotta pace yourself in a Bruce show, Timmy.
Mm-hmm. We're right.
And I'm reaching around all around the seat.
Disappointed you didn't see Prince.
And the next thing
you're
I
reaching
know,
around, you did a reach around.
Well, pretty much, Timmy. The next thing I know, I got a handful of this 21-year-old girl butt looking for my because it's dark. My hand wandering around.
That's illegal.
They don't like that. Why?
She just did not react, and I realized what I was doing.
Here's my question.
Oh, she didn't react, so that's a green light.
Here's my question, though.
So I chloroformed her.
I don't understand. Because if the cup holders are on the seat in front of you, why are you reaching behind you?
See, I thought they were on the armrest, you know, where the cup holder was.
You can just look down and see that.
It was dark. It was dark out.
How dark fucking was it?
In the concert.
Like, seriously. You know what?
So I'm reaching around
story.
To try to... No.
You wanted to grab a 21-year-old
I'm reaching around
ass.
Trying to find a place to put my Powerade, because I'm taking
I have an idea
myself.
Where you could
and
put
and
your Powerade.
And I grabbed her leg. Not, I guess not a butt, just kind of where her
thighs.
Thigh and where it hits your butt and stuff. And I said, my goodness, I'm sorry. I thought I was reaching for the cup holder. And she said, that's okay. And, you know, you kind of a handsome man. You could do that again.
She didn't say that
during the
at all.
I always do at the movie theater.
She was thinking that, though.
And say, I make the excuse I'm reaching for the popcorn.
Yeah. Again.
Do you cut a hole in the bottom of the popcorn?
Again, she's telling the story to her friends, only it's... So I was sitting next to this creepy old guy at a Bruce concert. And he grabbed my junk.
We went to a concert.
I don't know. You have to judge so hard.
We went to a '90s. Back in the '90s, we went to a Liz Phair show concert
with all the lesbians.
I don't know. There probably some lesbians there, but it was me and Ted. Ted's my age, and you know, by that point,
Ted's a lesbian.
We're our middle age at that point, right? And he's like up. When he goes to a concert, he's like up front, you know. And I'm like, I look for like the only chair in the theater, and I sit down, and I don't stand up for 4 hours. But he, you know, he's into the music. Anyway, the next day there's a write up, a review in the Cleveland. It was up in Cleveland. There was a review, and it said the crowd was an eclectic group of mostly young people, young girls, and one creepy old man. And it had me talking about Ted because there was no one else there.
Nice.
Yeah, that was funny. All right.
So
anyway.
How are you certain this wasn't you?
Yeah, because I was in the back. I mean,
he found the chair.
I found the chair and I set my ass down. She was pretty good. She sung the song "Fucking Run," which I like. If you haven't heard "Fucking Run," play it. It's a catchy little tune, a little ditty.
What's the name?
"Fucking Run."
I will see if my mother has it on her iPod.
Okay,
her
you do
iPod.
That. All right.
Have you ever tried to do that?
Fucking run?
I mean, it's the same time. It seems like it'd be different.
I have tried to do it, but I sprained my ankle.
Is it fucking run or fuck and run?
Fuck and run.
Okay, because I was going to say, you haven't done
it's
fucking
like
run.
Fuck and then you leave the whole
yes,
story.
I get the concept.
Okay. All right.
Believe me.
All right, let's talk about David Berkowitz, shall we? David Richard Berkowitz, better known by his nicknames, he had two, the Son of Sam, which is so fucked up. I still don't understand how he got that name. And the .44 caliber killer, which I understand because he used a .44 caliber gun. That makes more sense.
Is it a research issue why you don't understand why he was?
No, I mean
Sam?
He says it's a dog, and it's a whole weird deal. It's stupid.
Did he give that nickname to himself?
Yes, he did.
What an asshat! I hate people who give nicknames to themselves.
I do too. Like the Colonel,
like Hawk.
Yeah. He probably
okay,
talked about himself.
Legit names. Now, dude, let's just
and what else is annoying was people talk about themselves in the third person.
Oh, my God.
Timmy hates that.
Yeah.
Brandy hates it, too.
Well, the Colonel much more tolerant than you people.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
All right. So even though Berkowitz remains the only person ever to be charged in connection with these murders that took place in the mid-1970s, there are some who think that others were involved. And they reopened the investigation back in the 90s. But they quickly closed it down because they could not make any other connections. So it's believed now that he is the only one that was involved. But anyway, he's given some conflicting testimony as to the events. So,
but anyway, he's a loon.
I don't believe him.
Berkowitz was born Richard David Falco in
Falco brought me Amadeus
in Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, no,
Brooklyn, why, young why Brooklyn.
Even, yes,
he Italian, but he changed his name to Jewish.
He was adopted. Let me go through this. But no, I'll get into the story.
Just let's do it.
So Berkowitz was born Richard David Falco in Brooklyn, New York.
That's a cool name.
Rock Me Amadeus.
June the 1st, 1953. It was about the year you were born, wasn't it, Colonel?
I was born a little after that, yeah, but like a decade, but
1953?
Yeah.
Yeah.
His parents were Betty Broder and Joseph Kleinman.
Mm.
Now you wonder, how did he get the name Falco? Interesting story.
I doubt it.
Broder, his mother, Betty, was married to a man by the name of Tony Falco.
That's a badass name, though, isn't it?
It is,
and
Tony Falco.
They had a daughter. Tony Falco, abandoned Broder.
Oh, that's some bitch.
But they never actually divorced. And then, like, as in with the state of Ohio, if you're married and you have a child, no matter who the father is, the presumptive father is the person you're married to legally.
Well, that's mm-hmm. a stupid move.
So that was the case here. Betty Broder had an affair.
You know you cannot challenge that either, Timmy?
Yeah, you can challenge it.
I tried it with Tana.
No, you did not.
I do not believe Tana is mine.
Because he's smarter than you.
Well, the boy, he is smarter than me.
He's got his mother's brains.
He's got good manners.
Yeah. But anyway.
He dresses nice.
She had an affair with a married man named Kleinman, who was Jewish.
No way.
Broder, you know, when the baby was born, the baby's last name was Falco because she was still married with Tony Falco. He just took, you know, he flew the coop. And
I see what you did there, Timmy.
I did too.
Did you like
still
that?
Still an awesome name.
Falco. You know what?
So a few days after his birth, she gave the baby up for adoption. She gave David Berkowitz up for adoption. And he was adopted by a middle-aged Jewish couple, Nathan and Pearl Berkowitz. A Jewish couple. And they reversed his name, his order of his name, because remember, his name was Richard David. They switched it around and called him David Richard. So that's how he became David Berkowitz. I have no idea why they did that.
Because they want him called Dick all the time.
And they're dead, so I guess we will never know. But anyway, that's what happened. They were a Jewish-American couple who owned a hardware store in New York. They were of modest means. But they were childless and no matter what age, and they wanted a kid. So they get this one.
Right. They got screwed.
Yeah, they got screwed.
Now, Berkowitz had always been told by his adopted parents that his mother died during childbirth, which was not
lies,
was not true. This led Berkowitz to develop a great deal of guilt because he thought he killed his mother. In fact, he often feared that his real father would be returning and tried to murder him because of his mother dying. And
legit concern.
Yeah.
Well, he would have had it coming.
But he went to we'll get to this later, but he went to a support group for adopted kids when he was an adult, and he told them the story, and everyone was kind of in the support group kind of laughed, and he was like, well, what's so funny? And they said, oh, they tell us all. That's what they tell all of us. So then he did some research and found his daughter. I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, it was not until he was an adult that he would find out the truth that his mother was still alive. He eventually tracked her down, but he was disappointed that she did not live up to his fantasies of being someone famous and successful.
They never do.
Yeah, you know. And I'm sure that he was a disappointment.
He was a disappointment to her, too. Well.
Depends on, I guess, when he tracked her down.
Yeah. Anyway, she was just a normal middle-aged Jewish woman. She did tell him the truth about his father, and repeatedly apologized for giving up for adoption. But
He never met
his
He never met his real father, Joseph Kleinman, because Joseph Kleinman didn't want, you know, he was married and he had this whole other family and he didn't want nothing to do with the baby, and he encouraged Betty to give up David for adoption. So by all accounts, though, he was treated very well by his adopted parents. They seemed to love him a great deal, and they went out of their way to spoil him, especially his adopted mother, Pearl. He was very close to her. He had somewhat of a strained relationship with his adopted father, Nathan, but a lot of that dealt mostly with his jealousy. He did not want nothing to come between him and his mother, his adopted mother.
He's Norman Bates.
Kind of.
He was Pearl.
Jealous of... to the extent to which he killed the family bird, because his mother was really fond of the family bird, so he poisoned it.
Dude, I'm not kidding. So I'm watching Bates Motel, which is excellent. And that's what Norman Bates does. He kills like anything.
He does
anything,
kill the bird.
Anything that, his mother likes. Loves, he kills it.
Yeah. Because
he's a loon.
Berkowitz did the same thing. But he could be, although he desired his mother's love and attention, he could be very mean and verbally abusive to her at the same time. His childhood was a bit troubled. He was above average intelligence, and if you hear him, he's speak. As I said, I listened to an interview that he did recently.
Except for that fake ass accent.
Well, the accent kind of sucks, but I mean, he's very articulate. I mean, he talks like someone who is crazy, who thinks they have insight. You know what I mean?
I hate those people.
Much like the devil over here.
Yeah. You know, they think they have all this insight when really they're just nuts.
No, you know what? That pisses me off when crazy people do that, because I'm like, yeah, out of all the people in the world, Jesus picked you to deliver his word.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you're dumbass.
But it's like the lottery. Jesus got to pick somebody.
Not somebody who's a hilljack.
We all cannot be normal.
Well, we all in this room are not normal. That's not the point.
Yeah, she got you there, Timmy.
Shut up, you wanker.
Wanker!
Although he was above average.
I did not even think that was a word.
Although, yes, you did.
Although he was above average intelligence, much like myself.
Yankee, my wanky donger need food.
He lost interest in learning at an early age and began...
Because he knew everything.
He began his interest in petty larceny and pyromania.
Yes!
And what?
Pyromania.
Pyromania. Def Leppard albums.
Yeah, Def Leppard.
Def Leppard albums.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Did they have the one arm drummer for
yes,
that?
Yes, they
album?
Did. Mm-hmm. And he was a drum playing motherfucker.
On me.
Hey, I love that song, and you guys are ruining it for
me. Sorry. He was an avid baseball player and earned a reputation as something of a bully in his neighborhood.
Get out.
He was not very well liked, especially among girls. Which I cannot, you know, if you see him, you would think that he would be...
ladies, man.
You wouldn't think that at all, actually.
I think he'd, you know, be very popular with the ladies. But he wasn't. They often laughed at him and called him ugly. You know, Colonel, you can relate to some of these things.
I think that was uncalled
for. Timmy's a little bitter today.
Timmy's out of sorts.
I am out of sorts. Neighbors and
What's got you cobblers in a bunch, Timmy?
I don't want to go into it right now.
I use cobblers. I just want to note it.
Yeah, I know. Okay. It's noted. Neighbors and relatives would recall Berkowitz as a difficult, spoiled, and bullying. His adopted parents consulted at least with one psychotherapist due to his misconduct, but his behavior never resulted in any legal intervention or serious mentioned in his school records. So he kind of was living on the edge, but he was kind of like Lady Gaga.
He was kind of like Lady Gaga.
The most traumatic event of his childhood occurred...
She's on the edge of glory, though.
She is. I like that song. You know, my mom likes that song.
Everybody likes that song.
It's about her grandfather dying. I didn't know that
until... Oh, really?
Yeah.
Lady Gaga to me?
No, I can't do Lady Gaga. But
she's scary.
Yeah. I'll bang Lady Gaga.
That's not saying anything.
No, I mean, I would give Lady the Big Gaga.
I never did. You know, I've really never noticed her, because when I paid attention to her, she was still in that mysterious phase when she wasn't, like, showing her face.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, so.
I believe I could make Lady Gaga gag.
I don't know. Is she attractive?
She's strangely attractive when she's on American Horror Story. She was strangely attractive.
That's a power trip for you. She's not you would say traditionally attractive woman.
She's not going to knock a buzzard off a gut wagon.
Yeah.
She's not a model.
The devil is not a traditionally nice person.
Right.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Well, you don't really meet anybody's definition of nice.
Plus, she's 30 years old, so.
Oh, that's too old for Timmy.
Let's talk about David Berkowitz again. The most traumatic event that occurred in young David's life was when he was 14 years old. And I have no idea where I'm at. Here I am. His mother died. Pearl.
Pearl.
Pearl. Pearl.
He dropped her pearl on him?
Pearl. Pearl took a dirt nap when he was 14.
Well, that was a little crass to me.
Well,
the young man's
a long time ago. He's over it.
Now, you know what? The young man's father, you don't know what it's like. I mean, the young man lost a mother here, Timmy.
I know.
Show some respect.
You can relate to that. You can relate to being rejected by women. You can relate to being called ugly. I understand you're
very relatable.
Yeah, you can relate to David.
He's quite the wanker today.
We were supposed to be subtle with that. 1967.
With what?
My wanker is not subtle. My wanker is right out there in your face, Timmy.
Wanking is what you did when you saw Bruce last.
No, Yankee, my wanky don't need food.
You used to have this guy play baseball with. His name was... They called him... I don't forget. Danny Stanley was his name. And everyone... His nickname was Yank. And we used to say, yank me, crank me, turn me over and spank me.
It's so mature.
Yeah, I mean, I always think
Turn me. See, I'm not really sure that you're getting you're really putting him down there, Tim.
I mean, you know, I was 13.
A little bit like you got a crush.
No.
Yank me, crank me, turn me over, and violate me.
Yeah.
Make me your bitch. I mean,
no.
That is essentially what he just said.
Yeah.
In 1967. Berkowitz's adopted mother died of breast cancer.
We already got that part.
No, I didn't say what she died of. She died of breast cancer, which is not something we want to make light of. It's a serious condition.
We are not.
No, we're not. And
but is it pertinent?
We will. It's not pertinent.
And can you spell that?
She passed away when he was young, so... his relationship with his father became more strained after this. He became very withdrawn and started to stay out late as a teenager. He would walk the streets of New York late at night, and he would describe witnessing the dark side of humanity. Now, this was back in the early 70s, and New York was a hopping little place back then. That was before they cleaned it all up. I was lucky enough to visit New York in the 80s before Giuliani got it all cleaned up, when Times Square still had strip clubs and adult bookstores and all that. It was a fun place to be. Anyway, I love New York. I have a very close, dear friend of mine in New York, so I would never say anything bad about New York City.
Fuck New York City.
New York is a cool place, and if I could afford it, I would live there. But I can't.
Because I know how much you love crowds.
Dirty, grimy.
So I live in Cincinnati. All right. So, which apparently everyone is vacationing this summer.
Wow.
Which is great. We love our listeners, but, I just hope you won't be disappointed. Now, there's a lot to do here. This is a nice city. I should say that.
So, she's dead.
Mom is dead. Pearl died. Much like the colonel, he lost his mother at a young age.
It wasn't funny to me.
No. He probably bitched about it less.
Yeah. No, I lost my brother to cancer, too. I know you did, Colonel. I mean, you lost your brother.
It's a horrible thing.
Blah, 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 blah.
David did not get along. So his father remarried because, he still wanted a Putang, Colonel.
He wanted a Putang?
He wants him estranged.
Putang clan.
So his father remarried, and he had a step... So David had a stepmother and a stepsister.
I bet they were... Ooh, you bring the stepsister.
And,
this sounds like a movie to me now.
He didn't get along with them. He accused them of trying to take the only person he had left, his father, Nathan, away from him, which he didn't like.
God, he's a freak show.
In 1971, at the age of 18, Berkowitz joined the United States Army to be all that he could be.
He does more before 9 a.m. than most people do all day.
He did. Now he doesn't because he's in prison.
Yeah,
he was
light.
Very good with weapons and became an expert marksman. And he had this fantasy. This was during the Vietnam War. And he had this fantasy of dying a war hero, dying valiantly in Vietnam. I had fantasies of getting laid in Vietnam, but he had fantasies of
dying valiantly
in Vietnam. However, he spent most of his time stationed in Korea, sleeping with Korean prostitutes.
I was going to say, so that is not Vietnam.
No, he was in Korea sleeping with Korean prostitutes, which I approve of.
Of course you do.
Yeah, of course you do.
After leaving the Army in 1974, he did this 3 years, he returned to New York City. Back in New York City, he toyed with Christianity.
I do not toy with religions.
He played with its emotions.
He was testing the waters.
You know what? That's how people get smitten.
That is how people get smitten and shunned.
Mm-hmm. And apparently,
he would
go to extremes. He played with Christianity, toyed with Christianity, then he became a devil worshiper. Now he's back to Christianity.
See that? Yeah, and let me tell you how this shit happens. What ends up happening? You've been to New Orleans, right, Timmy?
No, I've never been to New Orleans.
You never been to New Orleans?
Never have.
Okay.
Well,
Randy and I were supposed to go last year for our birthday, but she backed out.
They got all those voodoo people.
We should go this year for our birthday.
They got the voodoo people. They got the...
Anyone of our listeners in New Orleans who would...
We don't have any listeners in New Orleans.
Yeah, we do. We have some. If you would like for us to come visit and pay for our trip, we will gladly come visit you. We could be just like, you know what we should start?
Because we're givers.
You know what? How we can make money out of this thing?
How?
I figured it out. We'll be like Paris Hilton. What's her name? Paris Hilton. And we'll just get paid just to appear at parties. And they'll rope us off
in
clubs.
Yeah, because we're fun.
Yeah. They rope us off in clubs. We make personal appearances. Pay us $20,000. Go to a club for a few hours and then we'll leave.
We're fun. You could be a big pimpin'.
Let me get back to my story.
Oh, is this bullshit?
Yeah. This is what happens when you toy with Christianity, Timmy.
I thought this stopped.
Now, down in New Orleans, they got all the voodoo people, right? All the gypsy fortune tellers.
Yeah, some of them are in Haiti.
Yeah.
Okay, but they got a bunch of voodoo people.
There's two or three of them. They relocated.
Crystal ball. What you got is a lot of people toying with religion.
On the Greyhound bus. They didn't fly. They took the Greyhound.
No, because flying's bad juju.
I would not take that or the Megabus. It's terrific.
Well, here, let me just tell you this. They toyed around in New Orleans with religion, and God smited them with Hurricane Katrina.
Was that your point?
That's a terrible thing to say. Hurricane Katrina was a terrible event.
That was God smiting New Orleans.
It was not.
It was the Lord Almighty.
I think it was the Lord Almighty trying to smite you.
It was the Lord Almighty saying, quit toying with my religion, devil worshippers.
No, he was.
And he smited him.
He was aiming for you and missed.
Yeah. What Brainy said.
That happens.
He doesn't miss.
Wanker. All right. So, David Berkowitz, he toyed with Christianity, and he located his birth mother, but he only visited her a few times. He got the details of his conception and birth.
Why do you need those?
Well, because she was
whoring
around with a married man.
The conception?
Yeah, it wasn't, he's got his adopted dad, he's got his dad that was married to his mom, and he's got this other guy that was married to someone else. I don't know. It's a whole thing. It's drama. Drama, drama.
How the fuck are we going to get done when you had 2 pages, you gave me 11, and we already out of
this? Well, let me wrap up. My part. Back in New York, he toyed with Christianity, located his birth mother. Didn't go very well. He lost contact again. Eventually got himself a job at the post office, as most veterans get the... veterans should get a advantage when it comes to federal jobs. So you see a lot of veterans working in the post office. And he got a job at the post office.
That's why people go postal.
Well, I don't know if that's the case, but he got a job in the post office and he settled an apartment in Yonkers. Neighbors and coworkers thought he was quite a loner, but they had no idea how lethal he really could be.
That's it?
No, that's my
all point. That time for two pages?
Well, if I didn't get interrupted by a wanker in 3 seconds.
Well, if you went over there playing with your cobblers.
Oh, my gosh. Randy, what happens next in the saga of David Berkowitz?
Well, so the adopted father, Nathan, he retired and moved to Florida with his new wife and his stepdaughter.
You know what?
And
here's
just
the thing.
Left him.
Here's the thing. His name is Nathan. They live in New York where they sell the famous Nathan
hot dogs.
Yeah. Coincidence?
I got a six-pack of Nathan's hot dogs in my refrigerator right now.
Also too. Amazing. So David spent his days working.
There is no hot dogs like the Dairy Queen hot dogs in Portsmouth, Ohio. They're the best. And I've had Nathan hot dogs, and they're okay. They're just not.
Just that particular Dairy Queen or any Dairy
Queen? No, Second Street Dairy Queen.
So it's that particular.
Oh yeah, area. Yeah. I mean, it's a big. People come every time I'm there. People are from who come in from out of town,
from miles around to go.
Yeah.
To
Yeah, I mean, anyone who's lived there and moved away and comes back, they
don't come back though. That's
yeah,
the thing.
Sometimes.
So
Funerals
David spent his days working at the post office and his evenings walking the streets. The rage from being abandoned seemed to fester inside him. Berkowitz claimed that his first attacks on women occurred late in 1975. When he said he attacked two women with a knife on Christmas Eve.
Now, here's the thing I don't like about David Berkowitz, right? And, Colonel, we've discussed this. He shoots people.
That's a candy-ass way of being a serial killer.
Yes. And why does he shoot? Why does he shoot people?
Because he's a coward.
No, yeah. She's going to tell us in a minute why he shoots people.
I don't think she is. I don't think you're going to let her get there.
But my point being...
What is it?
If you're going to be a serial killer... Chop
some shit up. Yeah.
These women.
I don't like people who poison. That's candy ass.
Oh, that's wussy ass. Stuff
and shooting, I don't like.
Okay.
Strangulation, okay.
Strangulation is actually probably ideal.
Personal form of.
Hey.
Now, if you strangle them.
Let's wrap this up.
If you strangle them, chop them up, and then eat them. That's a trifecta.
Yeah,
this is the one.
Trifecta.
This is the man that's. We need to get this going. I need to go home. I can't be here all night.
He was yelling at me on. I'm trying to give shout outs to loyal listeners. He talking about.
Hey. So one of
his mom had breast cancer.
One of the. Simmer down.
My mama had breast cancer.
I know, but she's dead, so get over it. So one of the victims was never identified, and the other victim, Michelle Foreman. Michelle Foreman was hospitalized due to her wounds, but he was never charged with stabbing those ladies.
Yeah, he actually ends up cutting himself.
Well, dumbass.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
First rule of serial killing, never stab yourself.
Yeah, he learned, because then he went to the 44.
He wasn't even under suspicion for these crimes, and shortly afterwards, he moved to an apartment in Yonkers, New York, just slightly north of the New York City borderline. He would later claim that when he went to stab her, he couldn't penetrate the heavy outer winter coat she was wearing.
Yeah, I couldn't penetrate, girl.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Couldn't get through her coat.
Nothing worse than not being able to penetrate.
Yeah.
That's
you know you got a winner when you have a hard time penetrating.
Well, first of all.
Put a ring on it.
He should have taken the Colonel Effective Penetration class.
Nobody should ever take that. So she's got on New York. It's New York winters. It's cold. She's got on a heavy coat. And he tries to stab her, and he couldn't get through the coat.
She probably talked to that New York
accent
too, man.
And they struggle. Right. Well, and they struggle, and he ends up.
Spread the big hair and talk with the Jersey accent.
First of all, we don't dog on big hair. I'm waiting for it to come back. I'm waiting.
We see pictures of the devil. We need to post those on the page. We got pictures.
80s hair.
Yeah.
You have pictures of me?
We got pictures of you with 80s hair.
Yeah. I doubt it.
We have other pictures that we won't post.
Just go to a Facebook page and look for the photos. They're in there.
Yeah, they're there.
We have other photos that we won't post.
But my hair was awesome.
Because
it was awesome for that time. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome.
I had punk hair.
It would be awesome now. I know. It's awesome. So
Timmy got punk hair now.
In the struggle,
I really
sometimes.
Had punk hair back in the day.
In the struggle, he sustains some superficial knife wounds.
Yeah, so he cuts himself.
His first attempt was a disaster. And he decided any future attempts to kill somebody. Like, it seems like he thought this out with his little, like, you know, you see one of those boards in there?
He made a list.
Yeah, so he's got pros and cons. So he decided to use a .44 caliber handgun. In the summer of 76, a series of shootings began. They would terrify New York and even earn international press coverage. The perpetrator was dubbed the .44 caliber killer after his weapon of choice.
Which makes sense. Like, if he used a 30-30, it would make
20-aught.
Yeah, it wouldn't make no sense for him to call him that.
On the evening of July 29th, 1976, Jody Valenti, and she was 19, and Donna Loria, 18, were both shot as they sat inside a car parked on the street outside Loria's apartment in the Bronx.
This was two girls?
Yes.
Yes. Loria opened the car door to leave and noticed a man quickly approaching the car, startled and angered by the man's sudden appearance. I don't know what any of that means. Okay, so the man produced a pistol from the paper.
She did not like him being there.
Well, she did not like him, but that wasn't a sentence that he put down. I can't figure out where
they were sitting in the car.
They were sitting in the car, and he startled her when she starts coming at him.
What happened? No.
They weren't making it.
What happened?
I'm getting to what happened. I have this.
Yeah, but I...
This is my chicken. I'm fucking this chicken. You stop.
You're not fucking chicken.
I'm fucking this chicken. So... the man produced a pistol from the paper bag that he carried and went into a crouch. He braced one elbow on his knee, aimed his weapon with both hands, and fired, just like the gold America taught him to do.
Well, I used to have those little army men. Remember when I was a kid, and there was one in that crouch position like that.
Yes. Loria was struck by one bullet, and it killed her instantly. Valenti was shot in the thigh, and a third bullet missed both women. The shooter turned quickly and walked away, and hadn't said a word the whole time.
You shot in the thigh with a .44, you could hit your femoral artery and you could die.
Well, Valenti was able to give the police a description. She described him as a white male in his 30s with a fair complexion, standing about 5'9" tall and weighing about 160 pounds.
Did she mention that he was ugly?
No, but his hair was short, dark, and curly, and in a mod style.
Ooh, a mod style.
Groovy, man.
Groovy dude.
The description was similar to the one given by Loria's father, who claimed to have seen a similar man sitting in a yellow compact car parked nearby. Neighbors gave corroborating reports to police that an unfamiliar yellow compact car had been cruising the area for hours before the shooting. Detectives from NYPD Blues, 8th Homicide Precinct, were able to determine that the murder weapon was a pistol chambered for the .44 special cartridge manufactured by Carter Arms and called the Bulldog model, a 5-shot revolver intended for use in close quarters.
Colonel, is that the Saturday Night Special?
No, Saturday Night Special is a small gun. This is a big gun, Timmy.
The .44 Bulldog was easily identified by ballistics tests. The killer's distinctive shooting stance was the same one taught in NYPD pistol training and gave rise to the speculation that he might be a police officer.
Oh, no.
In the absence of any additional evidence, however, police followed two working hypotheses. That the shooter was a spurned admirer of the popular Loria. So Loria was kind of a hussy, I guess.
Well, she was an attractive young lady, 19. She probably had a lot of boyfriends.
Or that the shooter was shooting was a mistaken assassination of the wrong person. She was. She was probably just fine. There was no reason for this. Also considered was that of a jealous lover.
Oh,
her boyfriend, Vinny.
Vinny. Was it her cousin, Vinny?
Well, he was a member of the Genovese family in which he ran numbers and assisted in illegal gambling. This was due to the neighborhood had seen recent mob activity, and police even hinted that Loria's father, a member of the Teamsters Union, might be involved in an Italian organized crime. 3 months later, on October 23rd of 1976, there was another shooting, and this time it was in Queens. Again, the victim was in a parked car. Carl Denaro, he was 19. He was shot in the head and survived, but his companion, Rosemary Keenan, died of her injuries. So yeah, he's shooting 50% right now.
Well, they think that he mistook that. He thought it was two women.
Well, he's doing 50%
right
now. He
didn't like the lesbians.
Well, it's less than 50% if you take in the fact that he tried to stab two women.
Yeah.
Not doing very good on the serial killer scale.
But he still killed one of them, didn't he?
No, he stabbed her. He didn't kill her.
He didn't kill
her. No, she lived.
And these let me tell you, these Bulldog 44 specials, they're not easy to shoot accurately. Because they got short barrels. You know, they got big bullets.
So they're like, the barrel is like, is it like a snub
it's
nose?
It's about three inch barrel.
A what nose?
It's not snub nose, but it's about...
Oh, okay, well, that's kind of what I thought.
All right.
But I knew 44, they're... That's what
when they're talking about the Bulldog, they're talking about the bullet. It's
Dirty Harry used, right?
Yeah, but he used the long 80.
The Magnum.
Yeah.
So this couple, again, was sitting in Keenan's parked car when the window suddenly shattered.
Squeezing each other's boobies?
No, these were a boy and a girl.
Oh,
okay. Keenan, so maybe.
Yeah.
Keenan quickly started the car and sped off for help. The panicked couple didn't realize that someone had been shooting at them, even though Denario was bleeding from the bullet wound to his head.
Yeah, I wonder when they cut onto that.
Keenan
had
only superficial injuries from the broken glass, but Denario eventually needed a metal plate to replace a portion of his skull.
So they're sitting in the car, the windshield blasted out. They don't know what's going on. They just take off.
Neither victim saw... That's what I said.
Yeah, I'm just recapping.
Really? Because you don't recap something I said 2 seconds ago. You can recap at the end. So, let's see.
I will.
So what you're saying...
Neither victim saw the attacker.
How's that make you feel when we do that?
Police determined that the bullets embedded in Keenan's car were a .44 caliber, but they were so damaged and deformed it was unlikely that it could ever be linked to a particular weapon. Denario had shoulder-length hair, and police later speculated that the shooter had mistaken him for a girl.
I think I said that.
That sucks to be him. Yes, Keenan's father was a 20-year veteran police detective of the NYPD.
Oh, now
spurring an in-depth investigation.
Well, cops
kid
gets killed, and it's all going all out.
Right. As with the Loria Valetti shooting, however, there seemed to be no motive for it, and police made little progress. Many details of the Denaro Keenan shooting were very similar to the Loria Valetti case, but police did not initially draw a connection, partly because the shootings occurred in different boroughs and were investigated by different local police precincts.
And how many shootings happened, you know, in the early 70s in New York City, too?
It was like three every 15 minutes.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
1 month later, well, the Jets and the Sharks were always getting into it.
Yeah, it was always.
Once you're a Jet, you're always a Jet.
That's what I hear.
Yeah.
1 month later, on November 27th, 1976, 18-year-old Joanne Lamino and 17-year-old Dono DeMasi. These people and their names.
Well, 16 and
18 walked home from seeing Rocky at the movies.
Yo, Rocco!
That's where they made their first wrong turn.
Yeah.
Was going to see that.
No, Rocky.
The second wrong turn was listening to that impression that I just heard.
Yo, Rocco.
No.
Adrian.
What? You sound like a orangutan.
Adrian.
He sounds slow.
Somebody shut you in. And when Apollo Creed is, he's ragging him. He's saying he's going to knock him in. And he's sitting there talking to, what's the guy's name? His
Burgess Meredith.
Meredith.
He's talking to me. He's talking to me.
All right. They were standing on the porch.
Rocky had a pet turtle.
Okay. They were standing on the porch of Lamino's home.
Like Scott.
Scott's got a pet turtle.
Yeah. They were standing on the porch of Lamino's home in Belrose, Queens, when a man in his early 20s approached, dressed in military fatigues, and began to ask directions. In a high-pitched voice, he said, "Can you tell me how to get," but then quickly produced
a revolver. Sesame Street.
He doesn't finish the sentence.
Oh.
He shot each of the victims once, and as they fell to the ground injured, he fired several more times, striking the apartment building before running away. This guy sucks.
Wait.
You would think he would get the answer to his question before he killed him.
Well, that's clearly what he should have done.
He was deceiving them, I think.
Well, I think he might have been. It's just poor planning.
So in addition to being a serial killer, he's a liar.
Yes.
And incompetent.
A neighbor heard the gunshots, rushed out of the apartment
building.
Maybe
impotent.
far we know.
And saw, probably has bloody stool. And saw a blonde man rush by.
His pistol was his penis.
It was his, yeah, it was an extension of his penis.
Okay. They saw a blonde man rush by, gripping a pistol in his left hand. Demasi had been struck in the neck, but the wound was not life-threatening. Lamina was hit in the back and hospitalized in serious condition.
How do you get shot with a .44 in the neck and it not be life?
Yeah, it's just a flesh wound.
Well, maybe it just went through.
Or maybe it was from shrapnel or something.
She was ultimately rendered a paraplegic. Like all other victims, Demasi and Lamina had long, dark hair. 2 months later, January 30th, 1977, so we're ringing in the new year here, an engaged couple...
Oh, at Times Square. New York. Dick Clark was probably there.
Probably. When is Dick Clark not there?
They wheel him out. He's dead now, isn't he?
I don't
they
think
still
so.
I think they wheel him out
for show.
I'm going to look that up while you're...
Do some trick pony things. Let's see. January 3rd, 1977, an engaged couple, Christine Freund and John Deal, were shot when they sat together in a parked car. Deal survived, but Freund died of her injuries.
We lost Dick Clark on April 18th, 2012, almost 4 years ago.
Yeah, that sucks for us that we didn't realize that.
Oh, yeah.
Police
New Year's will never be the same. It hasn't been the same, really, since Guy Lombardo died.
Since Ryan Seacrest came about.
Yeah.
You think Ryan Seacrest gay?
I don't know. It's okay if he is.
No.
There's nothing wrong with that.
I think he should just come outside.
He's not gay. Police determined...
Have you slept with Ryan Seacrest?
He's out.
Police determined the shooter had used an uncommon .44 caliber Charter Arms Bulldog revolver in his shooting.
Are you saying she slept with Ryan Seacrest?
Earlier victims, too, had been struck with the long range.
It'd be easier to name the people she hasn't slept with than the people she has.
The earlier victims, too, had been struck with long caliber shells, and police now suspected the shootings were all connected.
A lot of wanking going on around her.
Authorities also noted that the shootings targeted young women with long dark hair and or young couples parked in cars.
Yeah, women started to cut their hair.
I'll probably get to that.
And dyed their hair blonde, I bet.
Yes, they did. It was a big deal. On March 8th, 1977, college student Virginia Voskirchian.
Yeah, that's it. Was right off the tongue.
Yeah. Was shot by a passerby as she walked into Queens. She died instantly. .44 caliber shell from this shooting matched the one from July 29th, 1976 shooting. At a press conference on March 10th, 1977, police announced that the same .44 caliber pistol had been used in several shootings. The Operation Omega Task Force, eventually comprising of some 300 police officers, was charged with investigating the crimes under the direction of Deputy Inspector Timothy Dowd.
Oh, the Dowd Report.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Mostly in relation to Maureen Dowd, the journalist for the New York Times.
Maybe. Mm-hmm. Police suspected that the killer had a vendetta against women, perhaps due to chronic rejection. The mass media had a field day with the shootings, publishing every single detail and speculation of the case. Australian publisher Rupert Murdoch. I did not know that he was Australian.
Yeah, he was Australian, but the New York Post.
I told you, everything terrible about the world is down in Australia.
Yeah, you guys could down there, you could take Rupert Murdoch back.
He married Jerry Hall. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Married Jerry Hall.
Yeah, but you know what? There ain't much left of that girl no more.
No, she's 108 years old, but Jesus God, he's twice her age.
Well, when you're marrying a woman 55 years old,
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say he left for a younger woman when she's already gotten to the
penis phase.
Yeah,
it's not like he married a 25-year-old.
So Rupert Murdoch had recently purchased the failing New York Post, and the paper offered perhaps the most sensational coverage of the crimes. Police made extensive efforts, including tracking down many yellow Volkswagen cars and trying to locate the owners of many thousands of .44 Bulldog revolvers. Thousands of people were interviewed. The killer struck again on April 16, 1977. Alexander Esau and Valentina Serrani were both killed in the Bronx, only a few blocks from the scene of the Demasi Lamina shooting. In the street near the victims, a handwritten letter was found by a police officer. It was addressed to Captain Joe Borelli of Operation Omega. Riddled with spelling errors, much like this script, the letter gave the shooter a new name, the Son of Sam. In full, it read...
Chuck, you're going to read the letter for us.
No, I've got it.
No, oh, okay. Got the
no, we got this.
The colonel got some throat issues here, and the devil decided to step up.
Usually, when we—I'm just saying—usually when we do, when there's letters involved, we have you read them
because he's
very. He can do a very dramatic reading. He's sort of like a thespian.
Kind of like
he's like a thespian. Yes, yeah. I am deeply hurt by your calling me a wimp. Women hater.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. I don't remember saying that, but
a wee man hater.
Oh, this is the letter.
Yes, this is the letter.
I'm deeply hurt.
I can't do a New York accent.
Okay,
and please do not do that. He's a wee man hater.
He's a wee man hater.
Yeah. No.
Okay.
Yeah, this is.
But I am a monster. I am the son of Sam.
He's not a man of few words, so let's get to this.
I am the son of Sam. I am a little brat.
I spank your ass, son.
When Father Sam gets drunk, he gets mean. He beats our family. Sometimes he ties me up to the back of the house. Other times he locks me in the garage, which in hindsight was probably a great plan.
It's all bullshit, though.
Sam loves to drink blood. Go out and kills, commands Father Sam.
Who doesn't?
Behind our house, some rest. Mostly young, raped and slaughtered, their blood drained, just bones now. Pap Sam keeps me locked in the attic, too. I can't get out, but I look out the attic window and watch the world go by. I feel like an outsider. I'm on a different wavelength than everybody else, programmed to kill. However, to stop me, you must kill me. Attention, all police. Shoot me first. Shoot to kill or else keep out of my way or you will die.
That's a threat.
Papa Sam is old now. He needs some blood to preserve his youth. He has too many heart attacks. Ugh, me hoot. It hurts, sonny boy.
You know that Kim Jong-il, North Korean leader, had blood transfusions with younger people, so he could, because the thought was that he would stay young if he had young blood.
Oh, yeah, he was wrong.
Yeah, he died. He lived to be in his 80s.
I miss my pretty princess most of all. She's resting in Our Lady's house, but I'll see her soon. I am the monster, Beelzebub, the chubby behemoth. That's redundant.
The chubby behemoth.
That's redundant.
Yeah.
It's pretty accurate, though.
The svelte behemoth would be awkward thing. Svelte.
Yeah. I love to hunt, prowling the streets looking for fair game, tasty meat. The Weemon of Queens are prettiest of all. I must be the water they drink. I live for the hunt. My life. Blood for Papa. Mr. Borelli, sir, I don't want to kill anymore. No, sir. That would be spelled S-U-R.
Sure.
No more. But sir. I must honor thy father. I want to make love to the world. I love people. I don't belong
like
on earth.
He's
a people pleaser. Yeah.
He's a people person.
Return me to Yahoos. Yeah. To the people of Queens, I love you. And I want to wish... This sounds like an Oscar acceptance speech. I love you.
Excuse the music.
Yeah. And I want to wish all of you a happy Easter. May God bless you in his life and in the next. And for now, I say goodbye and good night. Police... Let me haunt you with these words. I'll be back. I'll be back. To be interpreted as bang, bang, bang. Ugh. Yours in murder, Mr. Monster.
He wasn't the best writer in the
jackass.
World.
No, he wasn't Jack the Ripper now.
A jackass. Based on the analysis of the letter.
Wasn't Bill Shakespeare.
No. A psychiatrist thought the shooter might have paranoid schizophrenia.
He's
a total wanker. April 16th, 1977.
The writer, Arthur, might be just a tool.
On April 16th, 1977, there was another shooting. Sal Lupo and Judy Placido had left the Elephas Discotheque in Queens. Alphas. That's what
probably playing the Bee Gees music.
They probably were playing the Bee Gees music.
Night fever.
No. You could be playing that, but you don't know.
More than woman.
No. Doesn't your throat hurt?
The Saturday Night Live song, the battle walk, you know, walk. You can tell by the way that he's.
Oh, you can't tell by the way.
Saturday Night Live. It's not Saturday Night Live.
I
You sound like somebody ran over a cat with a lawnmower. Stop.
New York Times has done for man.
So according to Chris Summers... According to Chris Summers...
Can I just say one thing here? Whether
BBC,
your mother or whether your brother...
You're staying alive.
Staying alive.
Okay, the young couple were sitting in the car when Placido said the son of Sam is really scary. The way that guy... Stop it!
What?
The way that guy comes out of nowhere, you never know where he'll hit next. Moments later, three gunshots blasted through the car. Both were struck, but neither was injured seriously. The shooter fled, and Lupo ran to the Alphas for help.
I started to cry and started the whole world laughing.
Police offered composite sketches of the... I'm going to pinch you hard. Like right...
I know.
Right there. Stop. Let's see.
You got me in a Bee Gees kind
of
mode.
Police offered composite sketches of suspects in the shooting based in part on the testimony of people who had witnessed or even survived the shootings.
Okay.
In some regards, however, the compositions were quite different, though police publicly insisted that only a single suspect was being sought.
Have you seen my wife, Mr. Jones? Do you know
New York
mining
up,
disaster 19 something?
There's about ready to be a mining disaster in here.
It's like on the outside.
One sketch and description roughly matched Berkowitz. Medium height, slightly pudgy, with hair that was short, dark, and curly. But another suspect was reported to be quite different. A taller and slimmer man. A hippie sort. Oh my god, that's the most god-awful noise. With jaw-length hair that was either light brown or dark blonde. Police speculated that they might be seeking one killer who was using a wig. On May 30th, 1977, columnist Jimmy Breslin of the New York Daily News received a handwritten letter from the shooter.
Very good writer.
A week later, after consulting with police and agreeing to withhold portions of the letter, the Daily News published the letter. Reportedly, over 1.1 million copies of that day's paper would be sold. The letter read in part, "Hello from the gutters of NYC, which are filled with dog manure, vomit, stale wine, urine, and blood. Hello from the sewers of NYC, which swallow up these delicacies when they are washed away by the sweeper trucks."
You should be dancing, yeah! Dancing, yeah!
"Hello from the cracks of the sidewalks of NYC.
How deep is your love? How deep is your love?"
"And from the ants that dwell in these cracks and feed on the dried blood of death that has settled into the cracks."
I'd like to dedicate this one to the devil.
The writer said that he was a fan of noting, "JB, I always wanted to tell you that I read your column daily and I find it quite informative." Ominously, the writer added, What will you have for July 29th, the anniversary of the first .44 caliber shooting?" Breslin urged the killer to turn himself into police. The writer ignored Breslin's suggestion and killed again on July 30th, 1977.
"It's only words and words are..."
It's Bee Gees Tuesday.
Well, it needs to not be because it's not Tuesday.
Oh!
Let's see. It was near the one-year anniversary of the first .44 caliber shootings, and police set up a sizable dragnet focusing on the shooter's hunting grounds of Queens and the Bronx. However, the shooter struck in Brooklyn. Stacy Moskowitz and Robert Volente were both shot in the head as they sat in a parked car.
You know what? Not,
Moskowitz
you know what,
died.
Can I just ask one quick question?
Moskowitz died.
"If I can't have you, I don't want nobody, devil. If I can't have you..."
Moskowitz died, and although Valenti survived, he was blinded. Although no one knew it, Moskowitz and Valenti would be the final victims of the .44 caliber killer. On the evening of that shooting, Cecilia Davis, who lived near the crime scene, saw a man removing a parking ticket. I will fucking choke you.
Baby, you don't.
I don't even care if you interrupt
devil,
me, but God, that's horrible.
You don't know what it's like
to love somebody.
To love somebody.
I don't know the rest.
The way we love the devil.
But then, have you often asked yourself this question?
You sound like a dying cat.
No, Ken.
How can you mend a broken heart?
Are you just going through their catalog?
Jackasses.
They actually had a lot of songs. Yeah, they did. All right, in the evening...
Most of them are dead now.
Yes, I know. The evening of the Moskowitz-Valente shooting, Cecilia Davis, who lived near the crime scene, saw a man removing a parking ticket from his yellow Ford Galaxy, which had been parked too near a fire hydrant. Davis saw this man only for a few minutes before the shooting, and she contacted police about him. Authorities determined that Berkowitz had been issued the parking ticket. 1 week later, Berkowitz mailed in payment for the parking fine. Thinking Berkowitz was now an important person, the NYPD detective called Yonkers, a city 12 miles north of Manhattan, and asked the police for some help tracking him down. Mike Novotny was a sergeant at the Yonkers Police Department. According to him, the Yonkers police had their own suspicions about Berkowitz in connection with other strange crimes in Yonkers, crimes they saw referenced in one of the Son of Sam letters. To the shock of the NYPD, they told New York City detectives that Berkowitz might just be the Son of Sam. When they investigated his car parked on the street outside his apartment, police found a rifle in the back seat. They searched the vehicle and maps of the crime scenes and a letter to Sergeant Dowd of the Omega Task Force. When he emerged from the building hours later, he held in his right hand a brown paper bag. Inside the bag was a .44 caliber pistol.
He was carrying a .40 in his paper bag.
He was, clearly. Berkowitz was arrested outside his apartment in Yonkers, New York, on August 10, 1977.
You know, people don't get to heaven too much anymore.
No, they don't.
His first words upon arrest would be reported to be, "What took you so long?" When one of the arresting officers asked Berkowitz who he was, Berkowitz replied calmly, "I am the Son of Sam." Police
Not
were worried.
So right.
Turned out to be
so wrong.
Police were worried that if challenged in court, their initial search of Berkowitz's vehicle might be ruled unconstitutional. They had no search warrant, and their justification for the search might seem flimsy. They'd searched initially based on the hunting rifle visible in the back seat, though possession of such a rifle was legal in New York and required no special permit. To the relief of police, however, Berkowitz quickly confessed to the shootings and expressed an interest in pleading guilty in exchange for receiving life imprisonment rather than facing the death penalty.
Islands in the stream. That is what we are.
Berkowitz was questioned for about 30 minutes and confessed to the Son of Sam killings. During questioning, Berkowitz told a bizarre tale that seemed to demand an insanity defense. The Sam mentioned in the first letter was one Sam Carr, a former neighbor of Berkowitz. Berkowitz claimed that Carr's dog, Harvey, was possessed by an ancient demon and that it issued commands to Berkowitz to kill.
Well, Berkowitz should not have done this.
If Rudy tells you to kill,
if Rudy tells me to kill, I'm going to have to pop a cap in somebody's ass.
Yeah, clearly. I'm calling bullshit on that story.
But now, Berkowitz he tried to make things right now.
Uh-huh.
Because he said he once tried to kill the dog, only to see his aim spoiled due to supernatural interference. Now, during his sentence, Berkowitz repeatedly claimed Stacy was a whore at a quiet, though audible, volume. Now,
yeah, it was one of the victims.
Yeah. He was referring to Stacy Moskowitz, who died in the final shooting. Now, his behaviors caused quite the uproar in the courtroom as it was adjourned, and he was sentenced on June 12, 1978, to 6 life sentences in prison for the killings, making his maximum term, and this was without good time, so he might get out a little bit early.
Oh my God, this is taking so long. It's so hot in this room, my boobs are sweating.
It is hot.
Get on with it.
I thought I smelled boob sweat in here.
Jeez.
He didn't get out really, but he got 365 years. Now I believe.
Can he get out with good behavior?
He really claimed.
He's rejected.
Did the Hall & Oates Rich Girl song.
Yeah, now
motivated the murders.
It motivates me to kill.
How many Hall & Oates records make you want to go kill someone?
Well, that one and She's Gone.
She's gone. Ooh, I better
learn how to take. She's gone. She's gone. Come on, Timmy, help me out here. She's gone. She's
help
gone.
You. Anyway, there's two
songs.
Two
horrible
two,
sounding. Like
two hollow notes.
Like, I mean, like.
But Rich Girl, going, that was really.
He sounds like somebody's fallen in a trash compactor.
But you know, Rich Girl was not about a woman.
A little bit.
You know, it was about. You know what? It wasn't about a woman. It was about somebody that screwed them over with their record deal.
A rich girl?
Yeah. No, it wasn't a. It was about a guy that screwed him over.
Then why would they name it Rich Girl?
I don't know.
Because he wanted to call
that
him a bitch.
That is a stupid theory.
No, it's not a theory. That's what they said.
It's a theory.
But anyway, that song would make me want to kill. It makes me want to kill every time I hear it. Go ahead, Colonel.
Well, now, Berkowitz survived at least one attempt on his life by a fellow inmate while in prison. His behavior in prison early in the sentence reportedly aimed him to name David Berserkowitz.
Yeah, a little play on the word there.
Yeah, it's a play on words.
Inmates are so creative.
Berkowitz claimed to have been a Satanist at the time of the murders and suggested he was part of a violent cult which actually perpetrated the crimes. Now, in October 1978, Year of Our Lord,
you know, Berkowitz, they also sang Your Kiss Is on My List.
They did.
All mm-hmm. notes. And, I can't go for that.
They have a greatest hits album, and I have it. I have it.
And I'm sure you like the song Maneater.
I blare it proudly.
Is she a man-eater, all right.
Mm-hmm. No, it sounds like you were a man-eater.
Berkowitz mailed a book about witchcraft and other occult subjects.
Are you a man-eater?
Police.
Bitch when it hits the back of your throat, isn't it, Colonel?
I would not know, just Timmy, feels, but you seem kind of familiar with that.
Well, it was Bruce, so it was okay.
It was Bruce, yeah, that don't make me gay.
Suck one dick.
One time. Now, anyway, could we get back into the subject
I
here?
Don't know. You people have worked with me for the last 45 minutes.
So how's that process work? He points you out, and some of his people come and give you a pass.
They give you a little wristband.
Uh-huh. So you can get back.
Picture of a wiener on
yeah.
it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, blowjob.
Yeah. Yellow for blowjob. Yeah.
Reach around. Yeah. Renee got to reach around bracelet. But anyway.
Private eyes. They're watching you.
I know. I have all of these.
In October 1978, Berkowitz mailed a book about witchcraft and other occult subjects to the police in North Dakota.
Is it a book he wrote or just a book he found at the prison library?
And why would you send it to North Dakota?
There's only like North three Dakota. People clearly in North is where it Dakota, yeah. He'd underlined several passages, including the phrase, Arliss Perry hunted... Stalked and slain.
Followed by John Oates got screwed. It should have been John Oates and Daryl Hall.
No.
You think they went alphabetical? How they decided that?
I think Oates was the talentless one in the bunch.
Was he really? Yeah. What's your opinion on that? Brandy, you listen to him.
Well, Daryl Hall was the face.
He was the face.
That's why he went first.
He had all that hair.
He also
John
wrote the
Oates
songs.
Had the little mustache and the perm.
Yeah, he looked like he.
Oh, yeah. So it was Oates. It was John Oates with the perm.
Okay. It was hard to tell which side he was on, which team he was.
Because he
for.
Never said anything. He just sat back there playing the guitar.
Yeah,
he was sort of like
an underrated instrument, by the way.
Yeah, well, it is.
What's it? What's the who are the magicians? With the
Penn and Teller.
Yeah, he's sort of.
He's like Teller.
Yeah. Like Harpo.
Maybe.
In prison, somebody tried to... In 1979, somebody tried to cut Berkowitz. Somebody actually did cut his throat.
Yes.
He suggested the act was directed by a cult he once belonged to. Berkowitz reportedly invited...
Made him want to cut a bitch.
A former priest and exorcist, Malachi. They're always named Malachi.
They're always named Malachi.
Martin DeVizzi.
Did he exercise?
Discuss his...
The power of Christ compels you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sony Berkowitz says that he did not act alone in the killings. He said that it was part of an occult group with sacrificed animals to Satan, which ran a child pornography racket.
There's a lot going on there.
He threw you. There was a lot of moving parts in that one.
Yeah, but they reopened the investigation.
Yeah, well.
But what's so funny is, you know, he's the one. He's the guy. He's the guy that knows all this. This coming from the person who said, I took orders from my neighbor's dog. This but is the guy that we listened to.
Apparently, a couple of the guys that he named had some, you know, some run-ins with the law, and they did have a father whose name was Sam.
But Berkowitz finally became a born-again Christian, and said that his obsession with pornography played a major role in these murders.
Fucking pornography.
He had a parole hearing in 2004, mm-hmm. and he said he wrote to George Pataki,
the governor of New York,
the governor, and said that he wanted to cancel the hearing. He said, "I can give you no good reason why I should even be considered." And which is funny because that's what the devil could have said for the job she has, but
there, they hired her anyway. Reason he would want out. He's been in there so long, you wouldn't know any better.
Well, that's true. He was denied a second parole in 2004. Now, the board said that Berkowitz had a good record, but, you know, he was kind of brutal. And
well, his crimes were bad.
But here's the big thing that came out of the Son of Sam. Yeah. You had the Son of Sam laws.
Right.
The movie.
Yeah. No, the Son of Sam law.
No, I'm just saying the movie was a big thing that came out of
it. Yeah, that was...
First of these laws when it was acted about publishers offering Berkowitz large sums of money for a story. The new law, quickly named for Berkowitz, authorized the state to seize all money earned from such a deal from a criminal for 5 years with the intentions used to seize the money to compensate the victims. The Supreme Court declared the law unconstitutional in 1991. Decades after his success, Son of Sam remains widely recognized as a notorious serial killer, and it evokes a distinct time in New York City history. There was disco,
Night Fever, Night Fever. Yeah. Yeah.
And there was the...
I wanna put on my boogie shoes. Why does everybody sing in that same god-awful tone?
And
I wanna put on my boogie shoes. It does remind me, when I hear him, I think of those, when they had those rolling brownouts and those...
Yeah, where they had a blackout.
It was hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in July, I think, of 1977, and that was the year when he was, I think it was like 13 months that he was, these killings occurred over 13 months, and, you know, part of that time was during the blackouts, I think a blackout it was 1976 or 77.
Now, here's a touching human element to this.
I doubt it.
Niza Moskowitz. She had not forgiven, not even hidden her bitterness
toward
Berkowitz.
This is the mother of
Stacy Moskowitz.
One of the victims.
She wrote Moskowitz a letter right before her death saying, I forgive you.
She wrote Berkowitz, you mean? She wrote
Berkowitz, yeah.
Otherwise, she's forgiven herself.
Huh?
Yeah, she's
dead. Then she died. That was her last
time. She died, yeah. But he's still alive.
She said, I forgive you. She put it in a paper. She walked down to the mailbox. As soon as she put the letter, she took 3 steps away from the mailbox, had a massive stroke, died.
That's not even what happened.
No, but she
it could have happened
It was shortly before she died if she forgave him.
Well, now, since entering prison, he's become a member of the... And I never understood this religious group, Jews for Jesus.
Well, he believes that Jesus was the Messiah. He talks about it in this... 2-hour interview I had to watch on Sunday while you guys were doing Lord knows what, masturbating or whatever you're doing on
what Sunday. What time are we talking about Sunday?
What time
are we talking about
matter?
Sunday?
Doesn't matter, really.
Well, I mean, between 5 and 7, I was,
Well, anyway, while you were doing whatever you do, mm-hmm. I was researching a story.
I read a whole documentary on the Bloody Benders.
Well, that's next time.
Anyway,
You read a documentary?
I watch it on YouTube.
Okay.
Now, Moskowitz is, not Moskowitz,
well,
Berkowitz has never attended one of his parole
it.
Hearings. He was rejected again in 2014. His case will be reviewed again in 2016.
So this year.
Yeah.
This year.
But he says he doesn't want to be considered for parole. He says he knows he'll never get out because of his crimes being so infamous and brutal. And he doesn't want to get out. But, you know.
He should room with Chuck Manson.
And apparently he does, like, a lot of, peer counseling and stuff. So, I mean, he's...
Can you imagine? Yeah, my peer counselor is David Berkowitz.
Yeah.
He's so helpful.
Well, the Son of Sam, or as we call him, Master Son of Sam.
Well, yeah, he's not a very likable guy. Okay, Brandy.
He teaches yoga in prison.
Hot yoga. Yeah. I imagine it's on Rikers Island. It's probably always hot in July.
Yeah, I would think so.
Brandy.
What?
Any final thoughts on David Richard Berkowitz, the Son of Sam?
No, but the two of you are asshats for not letting me get through my stuff and singing Bee Gees stuff. In the wrong
All right,
note.
Colonel, take us out with a little Night Fever.
Don't do it.
Oh, Night Fever, Night Fever.
Where do people find us, Brandy?
You can't do it.
Fuck you, Tim. Join us on History Dweebs, the podcast page on Facebook, and on History Dweebs on Facebook. And join us on Twitter at HistoryDweebs1.
And we got a YouTube channel.
We do.
Is there stuff on it?
No, there's not.
There's a video of Rudy.
Well, what the fuck?
Colonel, take us out with a little I started a joke. We'll see you next time. Say on History Dweebs.
Say you started to choke.
Really? Say goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, everyone.
Say goodbye, Colonel.
Good day, people.
Bye, everyone. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.